I'm going to give you a rundown now of what it is that we're going to be listening to on tonight's program. We're going to begin by overlapping a little bit with what we heard on our installment last week. One of the things that we're going to be, the thing that we're going to be focusing on primarily this evening is the effects of the Cold War on the United States, specifically how the development of the national security state, which has evolved during the Cold War and as a result of fighting the Cold War, not as a result of, but the national security state was created to fight the Cold War, and as a result of that state and the effects that it has had on American society, we are now plunging headlong down the road toward overt German-style fascism, albeit with a few new wrinkles, primarily 21st century technology. What we're going to be looking at first is the effect on American society of the development of the national security state, and the ultimate effect of the development of the national security state has been, in my opinion, to bring fascism to America. That's not to say that all elements of the national security establishment are fascist. There are some of them that are merely conservative, and it is to be hoped that those elements can resist somehow successfully the development of those explicitly fascist elements, but the end result of the Cold War and of the development of the national security state has been to corrupt our democratic institutions to their very marrow. And what we're going to be looking at is the effect of the national security state upon our institutions. We're going to begin by reprising part of a column by Saul Landau, talking about how national security, in quotes, is the Achilles heel of our government, how it has corrupted the judicial process and the journalistic process out of all reasonable recognition. We're then going to reprise an article that I read last week, this from the Washington Post of April 23rd, with a truly Orwellian headline, CIA Report on Openness, Classified Secret, and the Effect of the Development of the National Security State on our intellectual culture, on the journalistic medium, has been enormous and enormously corrupting. After that, we're going to take a look at a declassified CIA memorandum that was issued in 1966 instructing CIA propaganda assets on how to discredit Warren Commission critics. This memorandum, I think, epitomizes the effect of the development of the national security state on American society, and I think it will strike some resounding chords in members of the listening audience as they view the attacks that were leveled at Oliver Stone in the media as a result of his movie JFK, and those attacks are ongoing. Beyond that, I think it will place in rather clear perspective the firestorm of journalistic criticism, and perhaps the words journalistic criticism should be in quotes, because an awful lot of the, quote, journalistic criticism has not been journalistic criticism at all, but rather CIA-generated propaganda disseminated through what the Central Intelligence Agency calls propaganda assets. Frank Wisner of the CIA and formerly the OSS termed the CIA's media component, quote, the mighty Wurlitzer, unquote, and one of the main priorities of our national security establishment in the early 50s was to develop a controlled journalistic medium, in medium in the broadest sense of the word, that would correspond to the totalitarian media of the USSR under Stalin. It was felt that we could not successfully fight the Cold War and fight a totalitarian system such as that in the Soviet Union without establishing the equivalent here. And in order to do that, we have basically corrupted our political system out of all pot, basically corrupted it beyond the point of recognition. The single most dramatic effect of the United States having lost the Second World War is that basically the political system of the Third Reich, fascism, has conquered ours. And again, when I talk about the U.S. having lost the Second World War, I am in no way speaking literally. I am not engaging in hyperbole. Obviously, I am not talking about a military defeat. I am not talking about a defeat on the battlefield, but I am talking about a political and consequently economic defeat, and the effects of the national security state on our political system have been just devastating. After having examined this CIA memorandum instructing propaganda assets on how to discredit Warren Commission critics, and I think the fire, again, it will provide excellent perspective on the firestorm of criticism that has been directed at, quote, conspiracy theorists, unquote, as the myriad of national security scandals such as Iraqgate, the Iran-Contra scandal, INSLAW, October Surprise, etc., have literally oozed out all over the front pages, it has become necessary to defame and to attempt to discredit those individuals who have pursued the abuses of the national security state. And I think many of the columns that have appeared over the last couple of years, people trashing Danny Casolaro, people trashing the Christic Institute, people trashing Oliver Stone, I think those columns will be, and those editorials, will be placed in a very discernible relief as a result of the broadcast this evening. After looking at that memorandum, we're going to take a look at an article in the Los Angeles Times in which a program called Quantum Leap, which I am not familiar with, apparently it's a regularly featured television series, and the executive producer, a guy named Donald P. Belisario, decided in order to counteract the distorted view of the Kennedy assassination presented by Oliver Stone that he would do something about how Lee Harvey Oswald was really the low nut who killed Kennedy. He, in order to achieve verisimilitude, he decided to use a real Mannlicher Carcano rifle for this, and we're going to see what happened with that. And then, curiously enough, it turns out that in yet another remarkable coincidence, Donald Belisario just happened to meet Lee Harvey Oswald when he was a Marxist Marine, which is about as ridiculous as anything one could think of. But old Lee Harvey Oswald was spouting Karl Marx while in a Marine on a Marine Corps base in Texas, and he just happened to make the acquaintance of Donald P. Belisario. One of the questions I have is whether perhaps Donald Belisario might be one of those propaganda assets, i.e. a media asset, that the intelligence community refers to and utilizes so effectively. After that, we're going to be taking a look at the headlines that are breaking all around us, and they really reflect in a very direct and very terrible fashion the total corruption of our democratic system as a result of the establishment of the national security state. We're going to take a look at these scandals that are oozing out all over the front pages and which constitute many of the most important headlines breaking around us today. We're going to take a look at the call by the Democratic Party to probe the intelligence snooping on Bill Clinton, the State Department snooping on Bill Clinton. We're going to touch briefly, and by the way, I'm not going to go into these articles in any length. We will be going into them at length in weeks to come, but I simply want to illustrate, to want to bring the line of discussion that I've been engaging in since July 26th right up to the present in order to tie things directly into what's going on now. We're going to touch briefly on the loss of a suitcase containing very important papers with regard to the investigation of the Iran-Contra scandal. Right after Lawrence Walsh and or people connected with him interviewed Ronald Reagan, surprise, surprise, the suitcase full of critical documents just disappeared. Funny how these things happen. The Republicans have killed the Watergate law, which would mandate a special prosecutor for political and national security abuses. They did so after the disgraceful indictment of former Reagan administration defense secretary Caspar Weinberger. So at least even those modest reforms that have been achieved over the past couple of decades are now being tossed to the wind. And again, one need only pick up a newspaper in order to see the dramatic effects of the U.S. having lost the Second World War. There is a true brouhaha brewing, no pun intended, over the Iraqgate scandal, which the Iraqgate, Iran-Contra scandal, October Surprise, INSLAW, all overlap to a certain extent. The U.S. Justice Department is now engaged in a pas de deux with the FBI. It was calling on the FBI to begin investigating the CIA over the Iraqgate scandal, which is overtaking the Bush administration. And the CIA is blaming the Justice Department. The FBI was going to help the Justice Department investigate the CIA, and there's been a clash over that. And now, the Justice Department is indeed investigating William Sessions, director of the FBI. We're going to take a look at the ongoing investigation by the Department of Justice of William Sessions. We're also going to take a look at William Barr, a quote-unquote CIA operative himself, and his rejection of a request by the Democrats to name a special prosecutor in the Inslaw case. After that, we're going to take a look at a magnificent piece of work that was done by Dave, our Italian translator. He, in combination with some other listeners, I believe, has been in touch with the October Surprise Task Force, and apparently the October Surprise Task Force is looking into the possibility that Manzar al-Qassar, the CIA-connected Syrian weapons dealer and drug trafficker who was tied in with the Iran-Contra scandal, may have been involved with October Surprise. This is an open situation. I'm not saying, and I don't want to be mistaken on this count, I'm not saying that Manzar al-Qassar was involved in the Iran-Contra scandal. He may not have been, the October Surprise, I should say, but the October Surprise Task Force is apparently investigating him in that regard. After that, we're going to take a look at a very important piece of work done for us by Dave White. He has an article from the Spanish daily ABC talking about Manzar al-Qassar and how the top witness against Manzar al-Qassar, quote, committed suicide, unquote, in Spain. A numbingly familiar pattern. After that, we're going to take a look at indications, again, from a terrific article gleaned for us by Dave, that the Spanish intelligence agency may have been protecting Manzar al-Qassar. Of course, we've taken a look at among the things we've looked at over the past several months is the Nazi Party in Exile that had functioned from Spain, the so-called Führungsring, the group that was assembled around Werner Naumann. We've taken a look at how Otto Skorzeny apparently represented the evolution of that Nazi Party milieu in Spain, and as recently as the mid-70s was controlling the Spanish intelligence agency DGS. And apparently the Spanish intelligence services remain affected by the fascist past, and that fascist past may very well have been helping to protect Manzar al-Qassar or the results of it. We're then going to take a look at another article gleaned for us by Dave that we touched on some months back. A Chilean-based Nazi named Alexander Schwerter, who works with drug trafficking cartels and the CIA, has been in the Italian press lately, and he's been doing a number of interesting things, killing people, cutting out their hearts, operating radio-controlled bombs, but again, by way of examining the weeds that have risen from the seeds we sowed near the end of World War II. And in the period immediately afterward. After taking a look at Alexander Schwerter, we're then going to take a break, and we're going to begin taking a look at things that are going on in Europe at the present time. We're going to take a look at the ugly things going on in Germany, neo-Nazi violence, the light sentences that have been meted out to German neo-Nazis who have committed violent acts against foreigners. We're going to take a look at indications that the neo-Nazi violence in Germany was planned in advance. We're going to take a look at the praise that has been heaped upon the rioters by certain people in the German society. They have been seen as heroes by some people. And we're going to take a look at how the government has basically responded to that rioting by beginning to expel foreigners, specifically Romanians and Gypsies. We're going to take a look at the very powerful German mark. We're going to take a look at how the very slight interest rate cut by the Bundesbank set off a wave of buying and a tremendous rise in the world stock markets. We're going to take a look at how the narrow French approval of the Maastricht Treaty failed to halt the surging German mark. And we're going to take a look at the response by the German people to their powerful Deutschmark. We're also going to take a look at Helmut Schlesinger, the president of the Bundesbank, and a little bit about his past. Not surprisingly, he fought in the Second World War. One wonders what he might have done. He is described as having belonged to a Wehrmacht mountain unit. That may be true. I wonder whether perhaps that mountain unit, though, might have been the Prinzjugend Division, a Waffen-SS mountain division that was the central unit in a bloody operation called Operation Schwarz that was conducted against the Yugoslavian partisans. Among the participants in that particular operation was Kurt Waldheim, functioning as an intelligence officer. There was a very famous picture of him on an airstrip at Podgorica. He's the although not a particularly important participant in that operation, he was the best known. So by way of cataloging that particular operation for you, the Prinzjugend Division, a Waffen-SS mountain division, was the central element in the encirclement at the Sucheska, as the Yugoslavian partisans called it, or Operation Schwarz, as the Germans called it. We're also going to touch on what has been going on in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, the new, the Hungarian Democratic Forum, formerly the New Democratic Forum, has proved to be a repository for some resurgent Arrow Cross elements in Hungary. Those elements were in contact with Laszlo Pastor, the World War II fascist veteran who formed the Republican Heritage Groups Council and who was the Liberation Support Director for the Free Congress Foundation in Eastern Europe. And perhaps not surprisingly, the Hungarian Democratic Forum, formerly the New Democratic Forum, is proving out to be not particularly new or democratic, and we're seeing statements by officials within that organization that are ominously reminiscent of the sorts of statements that accompanied the rise of fascism in World War II. We're also going to take a look at the rising anti-Semitism in Hungary and how the sentiments being voiced by members of the New Democrat, the Hungarian Democratic Forum, are in fact finding a receptive audience in places in among the Hungarian people. And lastly, we're going to take a look at an article that from the Los Angeles Times this past September, talking about a new breed of fascist rising in, where? Russia. That's right, the former USSR, the People's Paradise, as it has been termed by some not particularly knowledgeable people or when it was in existence. And not surprisingly to me, at least, there are very virulent fascist elements inside of the former Soviet Union, and in Mother Russia itself, the rise of fascism is something that is being noted, and we're going to take a look at the rise of fascism in Russia, of all places. So those of you who think that my statement about the U.S. having lost the Second World War or the Third Reich having won it, if that sounds a little bit off the beam, well, stick around, because I think you're going to see that, in fact, that's not quite as crazy as it sounds. So that's what we have on tap for this evening. After a short musical break, we're going to return with a section of the radio play High Command that I played in the third installment of this broadcast. That was from 1944, and I think it will prove ominously relevant here in 1992. Music, and then the bulk of this concluding chapter of Radio Free America program number 37, How the United States Lost the Second World War.